The Sunday Morning Playground on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. The Ticket.
Welcome back on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. The Ticket. You're listening to a special edition, the Orange Bowl Playground Edition. There is no show for us tomorrow because obviously we're here talking to you now from 10 to noon. We just went through the entire Michigan game. They end up on the wrong side, 33-32. Obviously, they're not a playoff team. You can't beat Florida State. They had a month to prepare for Florida State. If you're a better team, you should have been able to beat Florida State. They didn't. I don't know, Tonio, if you believe that. Do you believe they're better than any of the four teams from what you saw yesterday?
Only looking at yesterday, absolutely not. Okay. By the same token, then, if we're only going to look at that, then Ohio State's probably not a playoff team either.
That's true.
They could barely beat, you know.
Yeah, then beat Michigan. Yes, that's very true indeed. Go ahead, if you want to join us, give us a call, 734-998-1050. We're answering your questions. We're talking about the game that we saw, that you saw, right here on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket. All right. Wilton Spate overall, 21 for 38. 163 yards, one touchdown. The interception was at the very end, so it doesn't really matter. His quarterback rating, 94.7. The rushing side of the ball, Devion, 16 attempts for 36 yards. His longest was 13. 2.3 was his average. Chris Evans, 8 attempts for 49 yards, one touchdown. His longest was 30. Eddie McDoom had 6 yards. Higdon had 3, and he was in the game a lot, only with 4 carries, though. J.U. Chasson with 2. Wilton had 6 attempts for negative 7 yards. His longest was 17. But, yes, we know that he's going to take some of that sack yardage. So on the other side, as far as the wide receivers for Michigan, they go 21 receptions for 163 yards. His longest pass was 21 yards, 7.8 average, 37 targets out of the 21, so 21 for 37, right? But yeah, Darbo with 36, Chesson 31, Ian Bunting for 40 in place of Jake Butt. Jake had 28 with 3 receptions for 28 yards. Devion with 7, Wheat Hill 13 with a touchdown, and Wheatley had 8. You know, that's not the Michigan performance. Just looking at these numbers, just looking at what I just said, Wilton looks like he didn't have that much down yard passing. Looks like they took that away.
Yeah, and I don't know why, because Florida State, I mean, well, other than the offensive line not being able to hold their blocks for more than, microseconds, but, Florida State had, like, 4 safeties injured or something like that, or, like, 4 defensive backs injured, something like that. So I was expecting us to do a lot more shots downfield, and we just didn't, because we couldn't. But, you know, so, like, yeah, I mean, the offense was disappointing.
Yeah.
All around.
The only bright spot that's not Kenny Allen on the offensive side, Chris Evans.
Yeah, that one run was a great run. I mean, he's quick. I would have loved to have seen more Chris Evans.
I do, too. I don't know why we went away from him. Early in the year, we saw a lot of him in some of those cleanup games. Did very well, and then he kind of looked like he was the number 3 guy, and Higdon was in front of him. Higdon had some great yards, too, at the end of the season. I don't know if it was enough to put him ahead of Chris Evans, but I'm not the coach. You're not the coach. Miz, you're not a coach. So, obviously, offensive side of the ball, it looks like, I don't know what we could have done better. Bunting's in there. Could we use him more of a blocking guy? But it seemed like they weren't on the outside. It wasn't outside rushing. It was in between the tackle boxes that these rushings were coming through and getting through. And there's a couple times where it almost seemed like, and I don't know if you guys noticed this, Mason Cole didn't make a block at first, but turned around and found a guy that was already behind him to make a block. I don't know. Did you notice that at all?
Yeah.
There's a few times where he turned around like, oh, there's no one here. And instead of looking along the line and trying to think of where to help, he was like, oh, my guys would probably be, here's a guy. I can block this guy because he hasn't got to Wilton yet. It happened more than once. I'm just saying, I noticed that. Let's take a few calls. Let's go to Scott in Ann Arbor. Scott, talk to me.
Hey, after that last drive, they kicked off, and they kicked directly to the return man. Why didn't he kick it away from him, or maybe he couldn't get a hold of it to kick it out of the end zone?
Thanks for your call, Scott. Yeah, I noticed throughout the game it seemed like that Kenny Allen was making it. It was pretty much either bouncing in the end zone or and then going out, or it wasn't returnable at all. There's a few times with that. Why didn't they kick away from him? Because I think they felt like their coverage team might have been one of the best options, and you stop them somewhere along that. And I think maybe they were all running as hard as they could, and then it seemed like he wasn't going to return it, so they all took a step off, kind of, you know, off their what they were, you know, their hard running. And then when he started coming out, they tried to pick it up again, and you can lose a knee doing that. And obviously, why didn't they kick away from him? Because obviously we've seen that all year long. I don't believe that they've gave up too many of those where they, you know, kick off returns for a very long. There's a few, but not as many. And I thought, yeah, go ahead, kick it to him. Because, yeah, he's more likely going to just down it.
I'm pretty sure a lot of us thought that, too, that you know, you kick it to him, you kick it to a freshman nonetheless. You had an upperclassman telling him, take a knee, take a knee. And he decided, don't put the team on my shoulders. And you saw it right afterwards. You saw the upperclassman, the other back in the end zone, come out 5 yards and just throw his hands down like, geez, what the hell did we just do? And next thing you know, he tears up for 66 yards. You know, I mean, I think that's what it was, is that you saw him look like he was going down to a knee, and it looked like maybe Michigan pulled up. And I think that's what really opened the hole up and what led to a 66, you know, yard kickoff return that ended up leading to the game-winning touchdown.
Yeah, I kind of thought that after the Thomas or you know, the punt fumble on the one, that's why you rush down there, because you never know what's going to happen. And if you try to take it off at any kind of those snaps, more likely you get pulled off the special teams team because that's why they've been on it. And they've, what, now 13 games? Mm-hmm. You should be able to run down there and go ahead and do that. Kick it at him? Why not? Because more likely he's going to take the knee, and then you know you're starting at your 25. It just didn't happen. It just when those things happen, you got to be able to prepare for them. And they should have, after Song Thomas, get the one on the one-yard line, know that anything can happen, and go down there, and whatever they're is all run straight, whatever they were supposed to do, they pulled up at some point, and that was when Florida State, I don't know if he realized it or if he just thought, I don't know, you know, what he thought, because we can't get in his head. Yeah, but whatever it did, it worked for them.
Yeah, and it seems like there is something to that sort of like that, you know, second or two hesitation that returners will take sometimes. I can only recall one specific example, but it seems like that actually helps. Like returners actually seem to do better when they sort of like pause, even if they don't mean to pause. Like, as I remember, you know, at least earlier in the season, one example is Jabril Peppers. I don't remember the exact game, but there was one punt return where he like bobbled it, I think, and sort of like took a second, and it created lanes for him, and he actually had like a really good return. It seems like in my memory, though, there's some examples that of that where that happens, where the returner like pauses or, you know, drops the ball, and it forces him to slow down for a second, and then they actually have a better return.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean, because you look at where your coverage is, and you know where the blockers are, and you can see maybe there's a hole, maybe a guy's not doing what he's supposed to be doing, and then you can realize where to go. Now, that more often than not, you see that in the running game, because you see where, all right, take your time, figure out where the hole is, and get through it. And you see, if you're a Detroit Lions fan, what happens when you don't do that? You just run in the back of your blocker. And as far as Michigan, I think they pulled up because they thought he was going to take a knee, and then he took that extra second and then saw something that he said go, and it worked. Let's take our next caller. Let's go to Gary in Ann Arbor. Gary, talk to me.
Well, you know, I think for me, it was the poor passing. Even when Spate had time, even when he had, which wasn't very often, he was overthrowing his receivers big time. It was embarrassing. So, yeah, I give him credit for making a few plays, but the plays that he could have made in the first half when we only had field goals, it was embarrassing. Davion Smith, awful. Another, just the only, that's when I was swearing out loud and ready to slam the remote control. I didn't break anything, but he had what, one or two good runs in there, but we've seen this from him time and time again. So it was a miracle. This game was going to either be a miraculous win or a blowout. I mean, we came so close to being blown out. At the same time, we came so close to a miraculous win, and it just leaves you scratching your head. You know, in the last four games, we played good defensive teams. Even before Spate got injured against Iowa, it was tough sledding. He Spate just wasn't the same Spate he was the previous eight games. So you couple that with the Indiana, a good defensive team, then the Buckeyes, then Florida State. That's a major disappointment. How Michigan finished the season. I think in the month of January, we're going to be talking about next year. And quite frankly, this is just me talking. I think the quarterback race is wide open. I'd like to see Peters and the McCaffrey kid. I mean, if Francois, a freshman, can play for Florida State and do very, very well, then maybe Dylan McCaffrey can do the same thing for Michigan next year.
Let me ask you this, Gary.
Sure.
Devion Smith, why is he the running back, and why haven't they switched from someone else?
Because he's a good pass blocker. That's probably takes precedent over somebody with just more pure running skills. And I get this from listening to you guys. I get this from listening to people like Marcus Ray say that. So I don't have that keen eye as a fan that a lot of our callers have. So that's my answer to that. He's valuable in the long haul because he's an effective pass blocker.
All right. Well, I was going to say most callers when they call in Gary, they go ahead and say the reason why is because of, you know, he is Jim Harbaugh's back, and Jim Harbaugh is going to go with a certain guy. He's going to stick with him through the thick and the thin, and that's what I set that question up to you. I thought I was going to get that answer from you because I was going to say more likely he's going to keep Wilton as the quarterback no matter what because that's his guy. And that was his guy last year. And yes, the quarterback battle will be open, but at the same time, it's only open so much.
Well, you know, to me, it's how bad you want to win. You need to. I thought Harbaugh was the kind of guy that would play the best players who gives them the better chance to win. Now, you know, I'd like to see this quarterback race wide open. Spate came out of nowhere and took it from McCorn. So, yeah, he's in the lead. He's got the inside track right now, but. You know, I think in January, if anybody asked me that question right now, because I was down on Spate earlier this year too. Callers have said when Spate threw the ball, he aimed it, and his long passes yesterday were just awful. So, you know, I appreciate your input in challenging me. They're the coaches. I don't see practice, and I'm not an ex-football player like some of you guys are either. So, just as a fan, just giving you my alternate view, and I appreciate your comments.
Yeah, thank you, Gary, for calling in. Gary, that's the difference. Yes, you didn't play football for Michigan, but you're a smart caller, and I believe you're right that there were passes where he was. Yeah, it was definitely there was guys open, but he threw it 5 yards in front of him. You're right on that. We never said that.
Yeah, no, I agree with Gary. I hope that the competition is wide open.
You do,
because I mean, basically since the Iowa game, maybe a little bit before that, Spate just has not looked the same. So.
Do you think it's injury-wise, or you think it's just Wilton?
I think it's a mix of injury and competition.
And offensive line?
And offensive line.
Yeah. All right, let's take our next caller, Lewis in Ann Arbor. Lewis, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing? Love your show. I wanted to say a couple things. I'm a newcomer to Ann Arbor, but I've watched football for a long time. Couple things. One is, I know, you know, the team has really come a long way in the last 2 years. I was here 2 years ago, and they were really terrible. And, you know, getting a couple bowls, that's fantastic. But I really have to challenge Harbaugh's coaching technique. I mean, to me, these kinds of losses are mostly preparation and coaching. If you cannot, for instance, yesterday, okay, so they're behind 7-0. They get the ball on the 1 yard line, and then they lose a couple of yards, then they go back to the one. Then they kick a field goal. Come on, if you cannot get to the end zone and on 1 yard, you don't deserve to be playing in a ball game. That could have turned around the game. You give the guys, you give the team something to believe in, you get the momentum shift, and then they kick a field goal, and that comes back to haunt them. Harbaugh losing his cool against Ohio State, throwing his headphones. That's just bad form. It sets a tone for the players, and the fact that he said, you know, yesterday after the game, oh, I really love these players. Well, that's fine. You know, that made me feel good a little bit. But on the other side, it's what the previous caller was saying. It's like, come on, you know, play your best players, get the guys in the game mentally and physically. I mean, you know, I don't think they were really ready to play. I think they probably had that heartbreaking loss to Ohio State, and they kind of threw the towel in. Spate, you know, fumbling on the one-yard line against Ohio State when that game was done, that touchdown would have put them over, and he loses the ball on the one-yard line. I mean, that guy is, you know, his confidence is probably shattered. So just a few things again, and I really challenge Harbaugh on his how great he is. You know, he may be making a lot of money, but and he really has helped the team, certainly. But, you know, this is mental preparation when you cannot get the guys, you know, in the game 100% all the time, concentrating. And he just hasn't even been able to do that. So.
All right. Thank you for the call, Lewis. I think you're right on some of those things. I think we said at the start of the show, all of us can fall down and get 1 yard. Now, you should be able to come out and score on your first drive. I do believe every team has been practicing for a month, if not a week, should know what to do to fall forward 1 yard. Now, their first drive, they weren't able to get anywhere. The punt leads to, yes, a 1 yard drive. All you have to do is fall forward. You should be able to do that with Khalid Hill. They didn't use him. Obviously, for some reason, now in football, instead of just running the ball on one, you go ahead and try to throw it. Now, there's naked boots. There's a bunch of different things you could do to get 1 yard. Michigan didn't do it. Yes, they had to kick the field goal. It's a chess match, and you have to go back and forth, and finally you get to the point where 7 is always defeating 3. And, yes, it hurts because you – and I've thought about that. Every game you play, it's a chess match, and if you're not matching back-to-back, you're losing. And miraculously, they came back and were leading at one point, something they didn't do most of that game. And it does come down to coaching in a way because he sticks with his players. That's my thought. That's why I asked Gary, why do you think Devion Smith's still the starter? Now, I thought most people will say, well, you know, he's Harbaugh's guy. He's been the running back there for a couple years now. And that's the way most coaches go. They go with their guy, not the best player. Obviously, Evans, we need to see more. There's more than one guy. You can use more than one guy. He did do that yesterday, but it took him a while to get to that point. And will he go back to Smith if there was another game that we were playing after this? Would Smith be the starter? More than likely, yes. Let's take a break. When we come back, we see the lines are full. Lewis, thanks for the call. You're listening to Sports Talk 1050, WTK's Playground.